You're listening to Dawson Church on the EFT Zone Spotlight.
I first heard about EFT from an old Gestalt therapist called David Perskleff. He was one of the early pioneers of Timothy Leary using psychotropic drugs. He had learned NLP way back along the way and was a real pioneer in applying advanced therapy methods. But he was eccentric, and so when he told me about this thing, I thought, oh, there's just absolutely no way you'd have those kinds of results that quickly. And he handed me this one-page sheet with the basic recipe for EFT, which I just threw in a pile and just wouldn't even try it. I was pretty skeptical. Not only skeptical, I was actually hostile to the whole idea. But I was going through a period when I had to sell a piece of property, and the property had gone into escrow and then fallen out of escrow three times. And it was really stressful for me. And so the third time, and it looked like it was falling out of escrow for the third time, I was so anxious and upset about it one night. I was sitting at home just fretting about this. And I walked into my office, and somehow that piece of paper had made its way up to the top of my pile. So I thought, I'll try it, okay? So I said, okay, how severe is your anxiety right now on a scale of 0 to 10? And it was a 4. Now, for me, a 4 is like fit to be tied, extreme. I just don't get that upset about things normally. But I was a 4 in terms of anxiety about this property. So I did a bit of tapping, and by golly, I was a 2. Now, that's a 50% reduction in anxiety after just one little round of tapping, and I was quite awestruck by that. Then I did another round of tapping, and I was down to a 1 or a 0. And so that's the critical thing, is just try it. I was on a radio show last week, and sometimes on a radio show, if the host is willing, I do about 100 shows a year, and sometimes if I say the host is willing, I'll actually have the host and the audience do a little bit of energy work on themselves. Pick a problem that's bothering you and give me a number. And he said, well, I'm a 9. I said, okay, then do this little tapping routine. And actually, I had them do another kind of tapping routine called heart-assisted therapy, which is one of the family of therapies. And after that, I said, okay, now think about this person who annoys you. What number are you now? He said, I'm a 2. I can't believe it. I've gone from a 9 to a 2, just tapping a little bit. So if you can get it, whatever you can do to help people actually experience it, that's the critical dividing line. There's an old saying that says, to him who has had the experience, no explanation is necessary. To him who has not had the experience, no explanation is possible. And it's very much like that until you get over your skepticism and just try it. It's easy to sit on the sidelines and naysay it, but just try it once or twice. And of course, once you try it with patience, like say you have people in pain, and somebody may have had chronic pain for maybe a decade or more, and they do EFT, and they get this relief right away. It is so gratifying to work with people and see the almost miraculous look of, as they shift, look of relief on their face. I know with one of my colleagues and friends, Dan Benor, whose technique is called WHEE, W-H-E-E, which uses EFT, he actually has to help people in his pain clinics, and he advises them to not let go of all the pain too quickly, because it can be disorienting if they had pain for many, many years. So one of his problems he has to solve with working with people is that the pain can disappear so fast that it's bewildering for the pain sufferer who's had this condition for a long time. So when you try it, whatever form of it you try, you tend to see such rapid results. You go from, like I did, from being a skeptic to being an evangelist. I like EFT for several reasons. One is that, I don't know, there's no real count of how many people are that there are that know it, but I estimate the number of people that actually know EFT or use EFT as somewhere between 3 and 5 million. So it's a big base of users. The other two forms of energy psychology that are widespread use are Dan Minor's one, W-H-E-E, and Tapas Fleming's one, the Tapas Acupressure Technique, or TAT. And there are many others as well, but just picking one, EFT is very easy to learn. I can teach it to somebody in just a few minutes. you get immediate response and results from it, as of course you do from the others as well, that there are lots of people who know about it already. So when I go and do a lecture at a health college or medical conference, I ask, you know, who here in the audience has heard of EFT? And usually somewhere between a quarter and a third of people raise their hands. So I'm already working with people who have some inkling that this is possible. So that's why I picked EFT to focus on. Now, I definitely wouldn't discount the other therapies, because the other therapies have a lot to offer. Like, for example, there's one called DEH, which is very, very good for deep psychological inquiry. So if you're doing like a 10-session set of psychotherapy sessions and you want to go into really deep soul work, past life work, future life work, you know, other dimensional work, all the different parts of your persona, DEH is fabulous. So there are other therapies that work in different ways. EFT, though, is this sort of introductory therapy that gets people in very quickly. And even if you are doing depth work, you actually can just use EFT and get great results with most things you'll choose to work on. So because of this very large number of people that know about it already, and the ease of reaching lots of people quickly, I'm focusing, at least for the research part, mostly on EFT. There's no substitute for personal experience. And when you're ready, if you're ready to let go of all the things that have worried you, that you felt threatened by, you felt hurt by, if you're ready to let go of all of the wounds of your childhood, if you're ready to let go of pain, if you're ready to let go of disease, if you're ready to release things that have limited you, beliefs, thoughts, feelings that have hemmed you in, whenever you're ready to let go of those things, just try this and see how you feel afterwards. Most people will report that they have huge shifts, and they have them in short order. Try it. Try it on things that are stubborn and hard to change. Try it on things that are easy to change and see the results. The best thing to do in life is see what works and do more of it, and see what doesn't work and do less of that. I'd recommend trying this on any part of your life that feels stuck or where you're unhappy, and just see how you shift. See if it works for you. First of all, love and acceptance of yourself. This is the foundation of EFT, because the setup statement says, even though I have this problem, I fully or I deeply accept and love myself. If you do nothing else in your personal growth other than tap and say that statement a few times, you have probably solved about 75% of your problems. So that's the first thing. If I could wave a magic wand and have everyone do something every day, I'd have them hold their heart and tap and say, even though my life is the way it is, the good, the bad, and the indifferent, I fully, deeply, and completely love and accept myself. If they believe in God, I'd have them say, and God loves me too. Something about self-acceptance is so vital. It's accepting your life the way it is. We all may have goals and want our lives to be different, and we're often very focused on how we'd like our lives to be different from the way they are. But just inhabiting the life you have now with joy and ease and acceptance lifts a huge burden of stress off you, rather than thinking you should be different, the world should be different, people should be different. People are as they are, you are as you are. Just relax and just enjoy it as it is. So if I could do one thing, I would just tell people, love yourself and accept yourself exactly the way you are. Now, once you do that, a whole range of possibilities opens up. So that's the first thing, is just love yourself as you are. The paradox is, once you love yourself as you are, the chances of being something and doing something and realizing something far beyond what you are now open up. So once you accept just where you are, then you can say, you know, I can see myself accomplishing this. I can see myself shifting to this other state. And then you look at the possibility of feeling the way you would feel in that other state that is maybe something you haven't been able to do or something you haven't been able to be victorious about. The first thing you do is that self-acceptance. And once that stress wanting things differently dissipates, then you have a chance to look at the world around you and say, well, maybe I'll make this change, I'll make that change. You start to realize what is within your ability to change and what isn't, and then taking some small concrete steps to changing those things. But that's the main thing. I see people tormenting themselves with what I call tragic stories. My friend Fred Luskin, who wrote a book called Forgive for Good, says there's a chapter he wrote in a book of mine, and it's called Escaping Your Tragic Stories. People tell themselves all kinds of stories about their lives, full of pathos and drama and problems. And when you do self-acceptance and then look at your stories, and the ones that serve you, great. If it's working for you, use it. If it's not working for you, dump it. If it's stressing you out, just let it go as soon as possible. Your body will love you for letting go of that stressful, tragic story. All these things open up once we first do that self-acceptance.